It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. While you were sleeping Saturday morning, literally overnight, an exhausted U.S. Senate approved a $3.7 trillion budget. Final approval came at 5 a.m. on the first budget the Senate has passed in 4 years. It capped an extraordinary 20 hours of votes and debate. And as the night wore on, virtually all of the senators remained in the chamber because they had, well, nowhere else to go. I'm joined now by Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey. Senator Casey, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you.
It must feel like a vacation for you after what you went through and your colleagues went through on Friday night into Saturday morning.
Yeah, well, we put in some long days in Washington, but rarely do you stay basically on the Senate floor for, oh gosh, it must have been 12 hours. Till I think the last vote was just about 4:45 in the morning. I left my office at about 5 after 5. So a long night and a long morning.
What was it like to go through a night like that?
Well, it's pretty rare that you go through a whole night. Sometimes you're there till 10 o'clock at night or 11, sometimes midnight. But and everyone was guessing when the process started that we would wrap up between kind of 1 and 2 in the morning, and I thought that was going to be long. No one expected it to go as long as it did. It's the beginning of a process. It's a budget resolution, so it's a broad outline of spending, but it's technically not the budget. In the federal government, the budget really is the process of, A, authorizing spending, where you have to pass bills to authorize specific spending, and then, B, the appropriation bills, which actually give you the legal authority to spend. The budget resolution is, and the word resolution is important because it's kind of a, you see Senate and House resolutions where there's a statement made. So in essence, the way I like to think of it is the budget resolution is more of a statement of policy or a statement of priorities. And in this case, it was passed 50-49, and people say, well, the Democrats, for the most part, all voted for it, and Republicans all voted against it. What's the use in doing it? But it's a broad outline of the budget, and the House passed their own version. So now it gives a kind of a point of a beginning point or a point of departure where you can begin to try to sit down and bring the two together.
And before we get into comparing those two versions of a budget, what were all these votes on? I think the term that the senators coined for this was Votorama.
Votorama, and almost every amendment that, for example, I had an amendment, several amendments passed, but one that I paid particular attention to was an amendment about the justice assistance grants, which is federal government grants that go to local law enforcement and state law enforcement. They're great. They're great help. They're of great help to law enforcement because they go to research-based strategies. So not just any old program, and the local law enforcement, whether it's for police officers or courts or prosecutors, they decide what they want to invest it in. So it really can be tailor-made to that community. But it starts out in the process as what we call a deficit neutral reserve fund. That's a fancy way of saying that we're trying to make this a priority in the federal budget. But that's what all these amendments are. And, you know, most senators want to get one or more of their amendments passed. Some of them pass by a voice vote, some of them pass by a roll call vote. So because there are 100 senators, you'll end up with a lot of amendments hour after hour.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey. By sometime this summer, the government's borrowing limit will have to be extended again or a default will be at risk. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think that those in Washington who said back in July of 2011 and even early August of 2011, before we got an agreement on that debt ceiling debate, I think those who said at the time that it's okay to default might have reassessed their theories on that, because even the threat of default harms the economy, and that's not my opinion. It's fact. The downgrade of our credit rating was due to not a default, but just the threat of default. So anyone who's threatening to default on the obligations of the United States of America, any public official, in my judgment, is acting in a very reckless and harmful way. For that reason, I don't think we'll reach a point where there actually is a default, and I would hope we could even avoid the reckless step of threatening a default, because these are obligations that the federal government has, and we have to pay our bills. So we should avoid even the threat of default. We need to pay our bills. That doesn't mean we can't have important and sometimes even acrimonious debates about how to reduce the debt, when to reduce it, how to make economic growth proceed at a much more accelerated pace. But no one should use the debt ceiling as a bargaining chip or leverage. That's, to say it's reckless is an understatement.
And yet, the GOP leaders in the House, anyway, still are discussing, when you're talking about a bargaining chip here, talking about leveraging that to create reductions in Medicare. We're still hearing discussion of a voucher system, possibly, that Republicans are proposing. They're also talking about cutting other benefit programs. When you hear that, how do you and your colleagues in the Senate feel about that? Would you ever seriously consider some of the cuts that they're proposing here?
Well, I want to be, when it comes to proposals on both sides of the aisle, we all have to be willing to listen. But we shouldn't take steps that would end the guaranteed benefit of Medicare, as some want to. By the way, nor do we have to. I mean, this idea that you have to end the guaranteed benefit to reduce the deficit enough to bring it into balance over time is ridiculous. There are many, many pathways to get to a greatly reduced deficit over time, and I think we can get there. In fact, this budget proposal that we voted on Friday night, after 10 years, the deficit itself would be at about 2.2% of gross domestic product. So it would be a much smaller deficit in comparison to the overall economy. So, look, I hope that some who are talking about using the debt ceiling as leverage are engaged in a rhetorical exercise, and they should end that rhetorical exercise as soon as they can, because it doesn't help anyone, Democrat, Republican, no matter where you live in the country. Threatening to use the debt ceiling as leverage makes no sense. It doesn't mean they can't push very hard for the cut that they want to make in appropriations, or the cut that they would want to make over time, or changes. We all have different points of view about that, but we should all just make an ironclad pact or agreement that the debt ceiling should be off limits. Families can't do this. They can't say, "Well, I just don't feel like paying the light bill or the tuition bill or the mortgage." Families have to pay their bills, and so does the federal government. But that doesn't mean we can't have a big, tough debate about spending and about revenues and all of that.
One last issue I wanted to bring up with you, Senator Casey, and that is the proposal in the Pennsylvania State Legislature by Senate Majority Leader Dominic Pileggi, who is once again bringing up the idea of breaking up the state's electoral college vote. Instead of having it be winner-take-all, the votes or the delegates for the president would be determined by allocating according to percentage of the popular vote plus 2 for the statewide winner. I know that you have been outspoken in your opposition to this idea. How much does it concern you?
Well, it concerns me greatly that if this were enacted, it would invalidate the way we've allocated electoral votes in Pennsylvania over 220 years. It doesn't make a lot of sense to do this. There's no reason to push this. I know some people are pushing it around the country, but I think a lot of that is more of the efforts around the country are more political than substantive, or they're not responding to a crisis or a problem. They're people in other states have a political agenda. I think in this case, yes, we have a bill that's been introduced, but I'm hoping that that's about as far as it goes, because I think Democrat or Republican, everyone knows that the pendulum swings back and forth. Ronald Reagan won Pennsylvania twice because he won the popular vote, got the electoral votes. Bill Clinton won the state. George Bush ran close races in Pennsylvania, didn't win the state, but ran very close races. In fact, I think in 2004, President Bush only lost the state by, gosh, maybe 3 points or something like that, or 2 points even. So it's a very close, hard-fought state, and we should speak with one voice as not just as one state, but as one Commonwealth. And so that what we don't want to have happen is that other states around us, because they're competitive and they get a lot of attention, that we're somehow an afterthought, and because of a proportional electoral vote representation. So I think when we all vote on Election Day, we speak with one voice, and I have no doubt that there'll be a Republican candidate for president in the future, and maybe even the near future, who will win the state and get the electoral votes, and they should, because that's what happened when Ronald Reagan carried the state twice, and that's what happened when Democrats like President Obama win the state. But there's no reason for this, and I hope that it's an idea that might be introduced but might not advance.
Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey joining us by phone. Senator Casey, as always, a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thank you, and thanks for your time and your work on these issues.
We contacted Republican State Senator Dominic Pileggi to take part in this interview, but his office did not respond to our request. Coming up, the Supreme Court takes up the Defense of Marriage Act, a discussion of that issue when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.